Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Blog Talk Radio. Russ Johnson here. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday, September 13th, I believe it is. And I hope everything is going well. Listen, it's really important that we pay attention to the vote this year, for whatever reason, whomever is elected. So I always like to remind you, because it's getting close. This is September. Then you got October, November, less than 60 days before you have to cast a vote for your favorite person who will be president of the United States. Let's hope it's the person you desires to be in the White House. But vote, 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 vote.
They remind me in the words of Scripture that ours is a future filled with hope. And if you share that faith with me, if you share that hope with me, I ask you tonight for your vote. That this nation's promise is reserved for the few, your voice must be heard in this election. If you reject the notion that our government is forever beholden to the highest bidder, you need to stand up in this election. If you believe that new plants and factories can dot our landscape, that new energy can power our future, that new schools can provide ladders of opportunity to this nation of dreamers, if you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules, then I need you to vote this November. America, I never said this journey would be easy, and I won't promise that now. Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place. Yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together. We don't turn back. We leave no one behind. We pull each other up. We draw strength from our victories, and we learn from our mistakes. But we keep our eyes fixed on that distant horizon, knowing that providence is with us and that we are surely blessed to be citizens of the greatest nation on earth. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless these United States.
What can I say? 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 It's really important to make sure that all the work, all the struggles, sacrifices that people have made way before you were born was because they did not have a chance to vote. Would you believe that? Poll taxes, etc. So I didn't want to get into that, but since it's so close to the election, I thought I would bring it up. I think it's apropos that, there's so much to talk about that, because if you look at the history of people being denied the right to vote, denied the right to read, denied the right to grow their own food or assembly in groups to get together, earn money, the whole nine yards. There have been rules and regulations and laws by the highest court in the land to deny people their right to be free, if you will. And I just read one piece and then I get right into the program. Let's go back to 1740, South Carolina. They enacted the government. Courts enacted laws in 1740 to allow the master of a plantation to whip and even kill slaves who dared to violate the law by growing their own food, learning to read, or getting together in groups, or even earning money. I don't read all the law. I don't read all this to you because it's a downer. But all I am saying that there's a whole history of that. And if you want to, before we close, there's a calendar of all the things that have happened in history that you can get from an organization that was started in Atlanta, Georgia. But anyway, I'll address that another day. Listen, thank you very much for attending. Thank you very much for showing up. Maybe I'll just take this day to answer some questions, right? Adrian, do you have any questions of me?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Johnson. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You're doing your 2-a-day, 1 a week, right? And then you did more than that. But when you were doing that, were there ever days where you didn't want to do it and you did it? And what was the technique or tool that you used to keep being consistent? That's my question.
That's a good question. There were 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 times that I wanted to quit it, you know, because, you know, you're out there talking to people, 2-a-day, 2-a-day. What I did when the guy gave me the formula, I had been in network marketing at that particular time. This is 1974. Wow. I'm doing a, it was 94 when Prepaid Legal was opening in Maryland, and he had called me to pitch me on joining the team. And I said, yeah, I heard about that organization. And so then I called another guy upline from me, Dave Cibola, and you can just Google his name. He had been in the program, as I indicated before, 18 months, but he's making $33,000 a month. And I had never made $33,000 a year in all my years of stumbling, fumbling, being a tire kicker at network marketing. Now, other people have also done the same thing in terms of being in network marketing and not reaching any levels of success. And, you know, you hear the story of Eric Worre, right? 7 years, stumbling and fumbling, maybe making $1,000 a month at best. Now he's a multiple seven-figure income earner. He makes, you know, in the network marketing arena, he made about $15 million, maybe $20 million. Now he's still making millions and millions and millions of dollars with his own plane, by the way, traveling all over the world, teaching us the things that he learned the hard way. Another person in school, I'll get right back to your question, of Hard Knocks was Horton Bugs. He joined many companies, Amway particularly, when he was 18. But for the first 5 years, I think the best he could make was $500 a month, maybe on three different occasions. But then he turned it around because he listened to the books, the tapes. He started being imaginative and creative and thinking outside of the box. And then he decided, I'm not going the slow way. I'm going the fast way. And then he talked to persons with, he came into Organo Go. He's no longer there. And it's within 1, 2, 3 days, he talked to 700 persons, right? And out of those 700 persons, obviously a year or so down the road, he started making $1 million a month. So now he's, you know, he's, and if you, I think it's important you go to watch what he says and what he's doing, even today, when you go to YouTube, because he leaves all that information up there, and so does Eric Worre. And then, of course, you can always go to his, get his book, GoPro, and one other piece, you can always look at Rise of the Entrepreneur, Rise movie, that documentary. Now, your question is, did I get discouraged? We all get discouraged. Nobody goes, you know, starts out the gate and go right and really go to the top. Right?
Right.
And so you get 1,000 times you want to quit. And there's a book that says, Rest If You Must, and I have the book in front of me, But Don't You Quit by Johnson, Vic, V-I-C Johnson. And I suggest get that book. And that's on, you can go to Amazon and get that book. It's only about $7 or $8. Come on. But in that book, it has, somebody's typing or something. But to get that book, there are about 18 different stories of people who all wanted to quit, and they talk about or give up or throw it away. They all wanted to quit, and you will go through that. It's like a roller coaster. There's another book called by Randy Ward. It's called Winning the Greatest Game of All. And that's about $7 or $8 or $9 on Amazon. But if you don't know your history, if you don't know the struggle that people have had in this industry of being a salesman, a person, then you really think you're the only person. You're not the only person who you get out there every day and you get no, 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 because the people around you don't see it. They don't understand what you're talking about. They think it's a Ponzi deal, a game, you know, a susu, whatever. And I can get into that one day. But it's not. It's a legitimate business. So, yeah, I struggled for the first 15 years. I don't think I made $15,000 or $20,000 a year, my first 15 years, until he gave me that formula. And then I heard something ding, 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 went off. And he said, two a day, one a week. And I had never done two a day, ever, ever. But when he did that, the next year, I forced myself to go out and do the two a day. I just got married to a young lady, and I wanted to prove that I was an entrepreneur. But anyway, so we worked together. And by the 13th month, I got my first check of $10,000. And that company paid me $10,000. It paid me $10,000 or more for every month after that for the next 15 years. So I made over $2 million. Yeah. But listen to what I had to go through. Is when I was doing the two a day, I kind of didn't believe it. I doubted. And I had fears, apprehensions that it wouldn't work. But I did it anyway, right? Because the guy told me to do it. And so I talked to the 700, 800 persons. My wife talks about another 200 persons. So we covered about 1,000 people that year, and we sponsored about 33, so that's 3%. But out of 3%, I made at least $2 million with that company. And today, which is what, 26 years later, I still get thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars during the course of a year, and residual income is still there.
That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Yes,
it's called Legal Shield today. So I know in this business, you always are going to have your doubts and your fears and your apprehensions. Some of the biggest people in the company, in the country, if you will, have gone through the same thing, right? And anything you do, you're going to have doubts.
You planted those seeds. You planted thousands of seeds. And
of course,
the compounding interest took place, yeah.
Of course. But I'm not the only person who has been in this business in the 70 years plus of network marketing and on planet Earth that has had their doubts and the fears and say, this thing is not going to – here's a story. Watch this, and I'll show you something. Back in the day in Amway, because when I was teaching at Howard University, I joined Amway, and a guy named Bill Britt, he had just lost $10,000 in some program, and he came into network marketing, and his wife says, I don't want you to join anymore because I don't want you to lose any more of your money. He was a city manager of a small town in North Carolina. Watch. But he went into a guy's house, Dexter Yeager, in Charlotte, North Carolina. He drove over there. He listened to the plan. And he says, and his wife said, even if you go to the meeting, I don't want you to join anything because you lost your last $10,000. We can't afford this. This is 1978.
Right.
But he had $26 or $30 he stuck under the floorboard of his, you know, his mat in his car. And he went in, he didn't have any money. But when he walked into the meeting and Dexter Yeager did the, you know, the song and dance, and he was making tons of millions at the time. And he says, to get started, it's $30. He says, wait a minute. He ran out of his car, got his $30, came back and bought the kit for $26. But Dexter says, I'm not selling you this kit. I want you to come back for another meeting. He says, well, then I'll find somebody else I'm going to buy it from. But so Dexter says, all right, I'll take your money. But obviously Bill Britt is gone now, but he became a diamond, a double diamond, a triple diamond, and even a crown ambassador, meaning that he had to find 20 people who became direct distributors. That means they were producing at least $10,000 a month in volume in that group. He had 20 people like that and made him multi millionaire. And what he says, there's no secret to my success. I've made the presentation to 900 people. Something like all of them said no, except about 200 or 300. The other 300 came in, and out of those, about 11 people decided to do what he was doing. And he became a multi-millionaire. So, and if you go to the website businessfromhome.org, I think it's from home or for home.org, you'll see all the people around the world and the kind of money they have made. Now, Dexter Yeager just left. He came into Amway in 1964, and he stayed with one company until he left about a year ago, and his total income from being in one company and seeing and staying focused and dedicated to that one company, he took home $460 million.
That's a lot. That's phenomenal.
Not too much. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. But the other of us, like Horton Bugs, me, and I think we were in and out of dozens and dozens of companies before we finally got a hit, if you will. But, you know, to jump from pillar to post. So the mistake is to jump from company to company because you don't see anything right away. Do you understand what I just said?
Of course. That makes sense. You don't learn any depth. You don't get any accumulated knowledge from jumping around.
Because
now you got to learn that new company stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I run into it all the time. I mean, I talk to people every day. I'm like them. I've been in 100 companies or more, but I'm saying, you know, we've been the company looking for the golden, the duck that lays the golden egg, the easy way, the quick way, the fast way. No, get into a company that's solid, go all the way. If I had to go back, even though I have learned a lot, that I probably, when I joined Amway in 1978, I should have stayed. And today I would have been obviously a millionaire.
Exactly.
Obviously,
right.
Probably a crown ambassador by now, right? Because another guy came in after me called George Halsey down in North Carolina, and he came in to make $100 a month just to use, so because he likes to go, he wanted to go camping, so he needed extra money, right? He's a man of color. So he came in, and his wife refused to even sell his product. She said, I don't want this stuff in my house. Because she was a teacher in Greensboro.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm not supporting some kind of Amway BS or whatever. I got my prestige, my honor to uphold among my peers.
Right.
But then he got in and he looked around. He was making $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month, $30,000 a month, $50,000, then $100,000. And she said, you know, I'm going to help you with this. I think this is a good idea.
Wow.
But he died not too long ago. He left maybe a couple of years ago. But he left as a triple diamond, making millions and millions of dollars in Amway, and turned it over to her. And obviously, she took it over and continued the being on the board of directors and being out there making the marketing plan. So there's so many stories in this industry. Look, any other question? I mean, there's so much. Listen, I'll come back for a question. But listen to Les Brown, how he stumbled in the initial days of doubting himself about making presentations in network marketing. And then I'll finish the story. Listen
because
to Les.
Bob Boyd, who sponsored me out of Columbus, Ohio, in Bestline Products, I thought he was the consummate presenter and very polished and articulate and a meticulous dresser. And I wasn't any of that. I'm cornbread. I didn't have any of that. And I was probably in the business for 4 or 5 years before I presented.
Wow.
Because I was so intimidated by him and Jim, the other guy brought me in. When I saw Jim Rohn and a guy named Chuck Simmons and Bill Bailey, I was just saying, whoa.
Yeah, how do you compete with that?
Yeah, when I can do it like that, then I'll do it. But see, you don't have to be great to get started. You have to get started to be great. And so I had to be willing to stand up. And I remember the first time I stood up, and my mind said, no. I couldn't think at all. And he had to rescue me. I had to go to the bathroom right away. So when I think about that, presenting part, I think I'm gonna write a book called Present and Grow Rich, because it changed my life, and I kept working at it, and I was patient, and I was persistent, and I got better and better, and I was coachable. I was willing to be coached. I believe ask for help, not because you're weak, but because you want to remain strong. And so I asked for help. Help me do this. Help me. And fortunately, I had a supportive team that helped me and I got better and better and better. I did not know that it would lead to what I'm doing right now. And so the ability to present, it changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
The personal development and the relationship and the presentation skills, it gives you the equipment you need to navigate this global economy. And that's what this industry does.
Sure. Because we're not talking about a product. Even though some companies have superior products. Now, let me just say, some companies have a Me Too product. But we are talking, in essence, about the essence of who you are. It's called personal development. And James Smith talks about it all the time because he's a consummate reader. And leaders are readers. But you have to understand that it's all inside coming out. It's not the company. Well, it's Amway, Shaklee, Herbalife, Nu Skin, Your Way, My Way, Her Way. It's not about all of that. Even though you do need a good company that goes long term, like Amway started in 1959. 61 years later, it's doing about $10 billion a year. B as in boy, $1 billion a year. It's the number one company out of all the companies that are monitored by the Direct Selling Association. So it's not about the company necessarily all the time. It's not about the product necessarily all the time. It's about you. It's about your self-image, your self-esteem, your ability to make presentations. It's called inviting skills. You talk about presenting skills, and you're talking about closing skills. Are you comfortable knowing that you have a product, an opportunity that people can get in that's not a scam or scheme or Ponzi deal, that's legitimate, and that people can make money and have good health by taking the product? Now, less is too much. The first time I met Les Brown was 1985. I'm in Baltimore, and I joined a company called Dick Gregory had that. Dick Gregory buy it. Oh, Cernatine America.
The Bahamian Diet?
Yeah, but before diet. It was called Bahamian Diet. Good. I'm glad you remember that. But before that, it was called Cernatine America. It was a company coming out of a Swedish company, right? Coming to America. And he came here and we started marketing. And later on, Dick Gregory heard about it, right? And so he put his product in the company, which was the Bahamian Diet product, after it had been on the drawing board here in America. He put it,
wow.
But we can talk about that some other day. But anyway, so I'm working the company, building a team, and Dick Gregory sponsored me, by the way. And so he's my sponsor, but he didn't do anything. But it's another story. But he sponsored me. And so the company sent Les Brown to Baltimore in 1985 to help me get it off the ground, because they say he's a distributor. He's been around Amway. He's been around Shaklee. He's been around Nu Skin. So he has a sense of it. It looks like he's dedicated to being part of this industry as a distributor. So boom, they sent Les Brown. Now, when Les came here, I don't think he had two nickels to rub together, right, to Baltimore. But he did his bit. I took him to the radio station. And then I went to the pastor of my church, which is the St. John's AME Church, right? I was assistant pastor there. And then when we went on the radio station at Morgan State University, WAAA, what happened was that they sent a lot of people came, and Les Brown had a couple hundred people there to talk to. But after that, he went back to the company, and then he got comfortable at long last to become a public speaker. And the last time I saw him, which was about 5 or 6 years ago, and I said, hey, he laughed at me, you know, with that laugh he has. And he says, are you still doing network marketing? I said, yeah, I'm still doing network marketing. I said, how about you? How have you done? He said, well, since I've seen you last, I made about $100 million as a public speaker. I said, okay,
wow.
God love you. God love you. But he did mention Jim Rohn. And I'll tell you the story about Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn is, what can I say, an icon of the industry. This guy came in network marketing at 25 years old, broke, stumbling, and he had this coach who guided him and directed him about how to manage your money, how to take care of yourself. And by the time he got 30 years old, he was a millionaire. Jim Rohn.
Philosophy that helped change my life. It's not what happens that determines your life future.
It's not what happens that determines your life future. It's what you do about what happens. All of us are in like a little sailboat. And it's not the blowing of the wind that determines your destination. It's the set of the sail. So jot this phrase down. It's one of the best to understand. Kids need to understand it. The same wind blows on us all. The wind of disaster, the wind of opportunity, the wind of change. The wind when it's upside down, the wind when it's favorable and unfavorable. The same wind blows on us all. The economic wind, the social wind, the political wind. The same wind blows on everybody. The difference in where you arrive in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. The difference in arrival is not the blowing of the wind, but the set of the sail. And that's what learning is all about, to set a better sail this year than last year. To set a better sail. The first 6 years of my economic life, I wound up broke. Second 6 years, I wound up rich.
Fantastically rich. And so before he left this planet, later on down the road, he was worth, I mean, if you punch it up, you know, you can always Jim Rohn and punch him up in his biography or in the things that he's done. He was worth, I don't know, maybe $400 or $500 million, maybe more. So it's all on the table, but you have to, again, I would get the book if I were you. I'm not you, but if I were you, rest if you must, but don't you quit by Vic Johnson. Easy read, and it has some flipping through the pages, 175 pages, that's all. Nice print, right? All and everyone in this book has gone through the same fiasco of being disappointed, wanting to quit, wanting to give up and say, oh, this is not going to work for me. But now they all millionaires because they got over it and stayed the course, and the rest is history, right? So any other questions on that? I just wanted to
You answered it. Yes, it's compound interest over time. You just keep planting seeds and eventually enough seeds grow. It's just the doubling the penny every day for 30 days is $5 million. And if you double a penny every other day, it's $160.
Okay. Right.
So
I got you.
I get
it. Look, it's a mindset. Network marketing, you have to believe that's possible. But if you have your doubts and fears will make you quit, it's not going to happen for you. So it's all about what you think about. Look, it's not just network marketing, it's life itself, right? We're going to be a teacher, a preacher, or a cabinet maker, whatever you want to be, a surgeon, whatever, architect, whatever. It's about going to walk that path toward what you don't see. See, it's got to be in your vision, mind's eye, whatever you want to achieve, whether it be Fred Price, T.D. Jakes, or even Steve Harvey. Have you heard of Steve Harvey's story?
Yeah, what a story. I mean,
okay.
Amazing.
Okay. Do you want to talk about it? You want to just give me a little 30 seconds of it? What?
How he was homeless, living in his
of
car.
Course. Yeah.
And then he kept going. His mindset. He was going to make it.
Well,
he knew it.
Somewhere deep in the core of his being, even though he wasn't a PhD, no MBA degree from Harvard, he's kind of believed, even though he was a stutterer, they laughed at him all in school, he just kind of felt somewhere in his mind that the universe put him here to do better things besides, you know, going to the street and selling drugs or robbing somebody. That he could do something different, and he did. And Tyler Perry, that's another big story, right? You know Tyler's story?
No? Vaguely, not that well.
Okay.
Not that well.
Well, let Steve Harvey talk to you for a minute, and I'll try to find something on on Tyler Perry so you can understand. He's now a billionaire, by the way, but we will get to that in a minute.
I was 10 years old, 1968. I was in a 11. I was in a school and we had came off summer vacation and teacher came into class and said, I want everybody to write their name on a piece of paper and write on that paper what you want to be when you grow up. So I wrote on my paper, I want to be on TV. Now, what you don't know about me is when I was growing up, I had a severe stuttering condition. I couldn't talk outside my house. For years, I stuttered severely, laughed at. What you don't know about me is I flunked out of school. I'm telling it to you now. You also don't know about me that I've lost everything I ever owned twice. I have lost it all twice and had to start over. I done struggled through two marriages to finally get this one right over here. I'm just telling you about me. You may not know, but I've been homeless. I lived in a car for 3 years. I washed up behind bushes, man. Gas station. Steve Harvey.
Now, a millionaire, right?
Wow.
So, it's all about struggle, whether it be a Martin Luther King, whether it be a Gandhi, whether it be a Mandela. Mandela spent, what, how many years in prison? Do you know about Mandela?
Like 27, something like that.
Absolutely. He stayed in it 27 years, and he believed that one day his dream of South Africa being free from apartheid would be realized. And the thing he said he did every day to keep himself encouraged, he would say a poem. And I don't know, and I won't read it all, but I should, it says, out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. It matters, instant, let me do this one, I'm going to skip a couple, but it says, beyond this place of wrath and tears, the jail, looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. So that inspired him every day to keep going in spite of the chains, you know, being chained down and being cordoned off in a little hole in a dungeon. And he came out and became the first black man of South Africa for the presidency.
Wow.
So all I'm saying, our ancestors have paid the dues to struggle, to suck it up, to stay on the plantation, to work for the man, to be beaten, maimed, abused, taken advantage of, so that we, a couple years hence, would get in and help America become a better place that it should become. And that's still being gone. And with network marketing, we can help ourselves, our families, our friends, and even the world to see a
right.
different picture. Now, I'll ask you a question in a minute, but your friend just left, John Lewis, Congressman Lewis. And
right.
he was battered, bruised, sat upon. But this is what he said before he left. This is what very important for us to know our history. John Lewis.
On the Freedom Rides in 1961, I had a seatmate, Mike Gentleman from Connecticut, and we left on a Greyhound bus from Washington, D.C., and we arrived in a little town called Rockhill, South Carolina, tried to desegregate a waiting room, a white waiting room. And we were attacked by members of the Klan. They beat us. They left us lying in a pool of blood. Many years later, this member of the Klan was in his 70s, and his son was in his 40s, came to my office and said, Mr. Lewis, I've been a member of the Klan. I'm one of the people that beat you and your seatmate. I want to apologize. Will you accept my apology?
Wow.
His son started crying. He started crying. And I said, I accept your apology. He said, will you forgive me? I said, I forgive you. The two of them hugged me. I hugged them back. And the three of us cried. That's the power of the way of peace and love. The power of the philosophy and the discipline of nonviolence. You respect the dignity and the worth of every human being.
Part of what you always want to communicate to young people is that being on the right side of history isn't always popular.
No.
And it isn't always easy. And you don't know when things are going to break your way. You don't know whether your labors will deliver.
I said to the young people, especially students, I said, when you see something that is not right, not fair, not just, you have a moral obligation to do something,
right.
To say something.
Right.
And Dr. King inspired us to do just that.
Right.
And he says that it's not the evil people that do evil things that we are going to be held accountable to, but for the good people who remain silent. So
right. That's
what he talks about, speaking up. Okay. But I mean, you understand the struggle that people have to go through on this planet, right?
Right.
Network marketing is the same, and that's why I said there's a book that if you listen to me just for a minute, that explains all of this without me talking and losing my breath and boring you to death. It's called Winning, the Greatest Game of All by Randy Ward. Now, when you look at the book, I have it in my hand. It's about 150 pages. That's it, right? But you got so many pictures in big print. And he tells you the difference between coming into a business and thinking that, oh, I'm going to be rich quick, fast, in a hurry. And it doesn't happen. Quitting. Or coming into a business understanding that you have to go through some ups and downs, some trials and tribulations, you know? And that's what the book is all about. See, with every adversity, like we're going through now, there's a good side about all of this. But as we look at it now, you may not believe that with all the layoffs, 50 million people looking for assistance, foreclosures and bankruptcies and evictions are going to be at an all-time high in the next 6 months to a year. You're not going to believe what's going to happen. These people are not going to get their jobs back. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's not going back to things as usual. We have some surprises ahead. And I say, look. If you understand a little bit what's going to happen, you know that you have your hands on a good thing by being with Rain International and a product called Soul, right? And a company that will pay you to market the product in 48 countries throughout the world. You're very blessed. And you can help a lot of people who are going to lose their jobs, who are going to lose their homes, who are going to be evicted. And for those one or two persons who will hear you, you can help them. Now,
right.
Paul Hickey, you know Paul Hickey?
In Rain, yes.
Right.
Investment
banker. He's an investment banker, institutional investor. Now, I'm just going to take a minute for this because I think this is ultimately important for people to understand that you are in the right place at the right time. Because of the research and because of what these guys have done administratively, you get to 48 countries. To have research and development, to have their own manufacturing facility, to have their own back office with Casey Whitaker, you know, that pays us every week without fail, right? And pays people all across the world without any hiccups at all. All of that is in place. Listen, I would put my money on this company of being around for the next 40, 50, 60 years, long after I'm gone. Like Amway now is 61 years old. I bet these guys are going to make it. All the way down the pike.
Right.
Listen what Paul has to say in terms of how solid this company is and how you can say that I am in good hands with Rain International.
Very scalable, and it's very hard to find businesses like that. You know, I talked a little about that in my last presentation with the Subway franchise. You can buy one, costs a couple hundred thousand bucks. Maybe you make 75 grand a year. Good job. Now what do? You need to go spend another 200,000 to make that another $75,000. Network marketing is one of the best businesses on the planet, other than an internet business like I just described.
Right.
It's really the next best business for being able to scale with very little resources. You know, I mean, most businesses take hundreds of millions of dollars to grow them. Even Facebook did. I mean, Facebook took literally billions of dollars to scale their business before they started to become profitable, right?
Right, right, right.
You don't need billions of dollars. Okay. You don't need millions.
Yeah.
You need time and energy and resources. You need to know how to do this business, right? Like you're helping people do. But
yeah,
from a business model, network marketing is a brilliant business. And I've seen 1,000 different business plans. I've seen it all. And this is a brilliant, brilliant business model, right? So now, Rain, so now if you've decided this is a great business to get involved in as an entrepreneur, which it is, how do you pick the right company? That is really, really tough, because as a distributor, someone from the outside looking in, it's hard to really get into the nuts and bolts of the management and who they are, where they came from, and so forth. And that's one of the things that I do as an investment banker. I don't invest my money or my clients' money unless I've done deep due diligence, like 200 question checklists of things that we have to do, all the way down to background checks on every officer and founder, to looking at bank accounts and audited financials and everything that goes along with it. And so we do months and months of research before we get involved with the company. So after I met Byron, and I liked the story, I liked the industry, the management I loved, key thing you have to look at, right? We like the product, and of course, you know, I've said this before, but the Rain product, and the thing that was different about Rain from any other network marketing company I've seen in Utah, and you know, we're here in the epicenter of, you know, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of buildings right down that freeway.
Yeah, they're all around us.
They're all around us.
And you know, a lot of their sales come from distributors buying the product. And Rain, it's, you know, I haven't seen the stats in the last couple months, but in the past, I know that this was true, we looked at it, their retail sales, Rain's retail sales, are 10 times the industry average.
Wow.
And so that tells me that the product is actually works. It's a real product. It's about the product, right? The opportunity is spectacular.
Yeah.
But when you have a product that really works and they're committed to any product that they come out with being a high impact product.
Yeah.
Another thing I liked about Rain when I looked at them, they had one product and they knew that they needed another product, but they spent lots of time and energy and research, and that's what they're doing with every product they're coming out with. They want it to be high impact, a real product that people are going to buy and use whether they're involved with Rain as a partner or not. Now, there's very few companies in this valley that have had that discipline. They just, you know, we need new products, we need to have a product for this, we got to do that, we got to hurry up for the next convention. And these guys have, I've seen the discipline, I've seen them disappointed because they wanted to have something for a convention,
right,
and then they pulled the plug,
right,
when it wasn't right.
Yeah.
That's spectacular. I mean, that is really committed to doing the right thing.
Yes.
Instead of doing the quick hit profitable thing, they're doing the right thing for the long term, which is going to be better for everybody, you know, shareholders, partners, everyone, right? And so, you know, you look at their commitment to product quality, another key part of the management and their philosophy. And then, you know, the other thing you got to look at, and I'm kind of bouncing all over the place, sorry.
Okay, it's okay.
Is when you're making an investment as an entrepreneur into a network marketing company, you got to look also at the compensation plan. Now, I'm not an expert in that.
Me neither.
I hired an expert who was, because there's plenty of them around here,
gotcha,
to look at their plan, and he said, extremely generous. Is it too generous? Because some companies get in trouble paying out too much, and then all of a sudden they don't have enough money to manage the you know,
great point,
the corporation, the foundation to grow, right? And so I fortunately was able to see underneath and all the financials and what dropped to the bottom line, and they definitely have enough to manage the company, grow it, make a profit as a company, which you want them to, because that goes into the R&D and research and everything else that goes with the company. And so that was brilliant to hear that this, you know, you've got to be careful that it might be too generous. There's a balance, right? And so that's something, as an entrepreneur, you're making an investment in a company, you want to make sure you're going to get the best return on that investment, and that compensation plan is a big part of it,
yeah.
Right? So it's a very generous compensation plan. And, you know, you kind of add all those things up when you're doing your due diligence, you as an investor, in what company you should invest in. Rain really has all of it, which is why it's the only company I decided to get involved in and raise money for as an investment banker, and I loved it so much I invested some of my own money. Thank goodness, because it's turning out to be a brilliant investment. I couldn't be happier, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you add it all up, and you've got management. You've got a great story. You got great product commitment, right? You got a good compensation plan. You got a great manufacturing system in place. And now you have a couple years of foundation built. For the people getting involved now, you know, 3 years ago when I got involved, I didn't think it was risky because I did all the due diligence.
Right.
I knew where they were going.
Right.
And I knew they were going to get the financing, because that's really, okay, this is another thing, right, that really messes up a lot of these network marketing companies. They get started, they start growing, and they don't take that much money to start. I mean, you can start one with like $1 million. It's not that much, $1 or 2 million, right? And then they self-fund the first year or two because the growth is nice and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they hit this growth curve, and they're calling me going, hey, we need $5 million. And I'm like, well, when do you need it? Well, like next week. And I'm like, well, I can't help, you know? And then they implode. And it's a common thing that happens. And so that's another thing I liked about Rain, is they had the foresight to see that they needed to get professional finance people involved early before that happened, so that they had the financial resources to fund that growth, right? And there's several people, not just myself, involved with Rain that are standing on the sideline waiting, and that's going to happen fairly soon, that super spike in, you know, they call it the, you know, momentum is on the verge of happening. And so, you know, that is another fundamental thing when you're doing your due diligence, but that one is really tough for distributors to figure out. Because they can say, oh yeah, we're great with financing, but they'll give you no inside access. And they don't have to, they're private companies, almost all of them are, right? In the early stages. And so that's one thing about Rain that's very different. And I've talked about this before, but you can't find a company at this stage in network marketing, pre-momentum, that has investment bankers, private equity guys, and lots of other really super high net worth people that are involved, invested, and ready to finance the growth when it's needed.
So, you are in good hands with Rain International. Bottom line.
That's good to hear.
If 48 countries, yeah. It's not going to happen with every country, I mean, company, if you will. I mean, look. Let's look at something that's happening. You know, if we look at what's happening today because of this pandemic, you know, companies that will let you stay at home and work now, indefinitely, happen to be Facebook, Salesforce, Amazon, Microsoft, Spotify, Hitachi, Coinbank, MasterCard, Zillow, and even the research firm of Nielsen and Nationwide Insurance Company, and many more. I'm not going to read all the list. But they say, you can stay at home now and work.
Wow.
Right? On the other hand, watch this. Approximately 20,000 brick-and-mortar stores will close before the end of this year. And we are talking about another 200 McDonald's stores were closed. They lost 25% of their annual income during the coronavirus. Other national brand stores like Macy's, Sears, Walmart, Costco will also be cutting employees and closing locations. Right? And even in the airline industry, United Airlines will lay off 36,000. Then you have American Airlines will furlough 25,000, Delta 17,000 before the end of this year. 20,000 restaurants have permanently closed. Now, I don't want to go on with this list because it's a downer. But I'm saying that the opportunity for you to present this deal to other people, and they will pay attention to you where they may not have paid attention to you 6 months ago, they're not going to stare at you. They're going to laugh at you. So you're going to have a chance. Listen, we talked about Tyler Perry. Watch this. Tyler Perry is a billionaire now. But listen to, and I'm not going to drag this on. I'm going to do this and close the show out because I could go on for 10 hours with all of this. But I just want to get you to a point that you understand that you are in a good place, you're in good hands, and that if you stay the course and don't get discouraged and just keep on going, keep on going, that you can not only help yourself and your community and family, but help the world. But here's, listen to what Tyler Perry says about going through trials and tribulations before he hit the mother load.
What happens when the job that you wanted or the career that you planned for doesn't come right away? What do you do? Well, it was 1991. I was just about your age then, and I had written my first play. It was called I Know I've Been Changed. It was about adult survivors of child abuse, and I wanted to do this show, and just my intention was just to make enough money to be able to take care of my mother. That's all I wanted to do. That was my goal, make the money and retire her. Anyway, I had moved, I just moved to Atlanta to try and launch this place, so I went to work. I would always work. You have to always work. You got to always go to work. I managed to save $12,000, and I put the show up, working, used car, bill collector, H&R Block tax return that wasn't quite right, but I got my money out of it. I thought 1,200 people would show up that weekend, but only 30 showed up. My car payment, rent, everything was tied up in it, so I ended up homeless. I ended up out on the street with no money and nothing to my name. But I knew that that is what I was supposed to be doing. I knew that I was on a good foundation. I had put in the work. This was supposed to work. It was supposed to be successful, but it wasn't. Over and over again, it failed, or so I thought. From 1992 to 93 to 94, every year I was doing one show a year. I would go get a job in between, and they would tell me I couldn't take time off. So I would quit. Now, I'm not telling you to go quit your job. I'm telling you what I did. This is my story. I would go tell my boss that I need some time off, and they'd say, no, you just got started working. You just got this job. You can't have any time off. But I knew that that was my destiny, so I kept on doing the play. Every year I would do it, it would fall short, until 1998. In 1998, in the seventh year of me trying, I was about to give up and walk away. I had enough of it. I was going to do like my mother said. She said, baby, go down to the phone company, get you a good job, making about $350 a week and some benefits, and you'll be all right. But how many of you know mama's dream for you is not necessarily your dream for yourself? I knew I was in the right place when one day I started getting notes from people, this was before email, who had seen the show. They would say, this really touched me. This really helped me. They started telling me how it had changed their lives, how they were moved by it. Then I realized, wait a second, this story that I'm telling about these adult survivors getting over things, this isn't just about me or where I come from. It's a healing for many people. I saw it, I got it, and it hit me, and my intention changed. At that moment, it was no longer about making enough money to take care of anybody. It became about what it did for the people who saw it, who saw themselves. My entire intention changed in 1998, and everything in my life shifted after that. I was still doing the same show. I was still doing the same thing, but because my intention changed, my purpose in what I was doing, this four had changed. My intention became about, how do I serve other people? How do I lift other people? When I realized that, everything in my life began to fall into place. So I want to talk to you about intention today. What is your intention in your career? Why did you choose it? What is your purpose? Because let me tell you, whatever you set your intention as, that is where you will land. You know, once I changed my intention, once it became about, you're going to hear that word a lot, intention. Once it became about going out on the road with my plays to share what I had learned about life, about faith, and about God, and about forgiveness. Once I did that, everything that I touched seemed to see major success. My intention was to use what I had learned in life, to use my gifts, my writing, and everything within me to lift people, to motivate them, to make them laugh, to use the laughter as an anesthetic so that I could talk about things that were plaguing our community that nobody wanted to talk about. Things like domestic violence and molestation and rape and AIDS and HIV, getting over heartbreak, getting over things that try to take us out, to talk about someone that no one wanted to talk about in this politically correct society, and that is the name of Jesus. You see, to me, it's a how-to manual for the average.
Okay,
person.
All right. Well, I don't want that going, but I just wanted to give you an indication of the struggle.
Right.
Of the disappointment, of the willingness to say, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to quit. I'm finished. This is not working. But he stayed the course, and today he's reportedly the most successful movie mogul in Hollywood, and he's worth $1 billion. So
wow,
what can I say? All right. Well, listen, I don't want to go on and on. I say again, I could say I could do this 4 or 5 hours, but I just wanted to get you to a point to understand what you have in your hand. That in spite of what you see, what's in your heart of hearts in terms of doing this business. Any comment? I should open the lines and ask anybody before I close, because I'm about to close.
I think you did a great job of showing the being congruent with what you say, think, and do is in alignment.
Okay.
And you just stay the course.
Okay.
You did a good job. Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you listening. Listen, vote. Get ready to vote for whomever you think should occupy the office of the White House. Congressman Lewis, he left us a few months ago, and he said it this way. He paid his dues, jails, beatings, kicked about the whole nine yards to make sure we had the right to vote. We had the opportunity to go vote.
On the Freedom Rides in 1961, I had a seatmate, Mike Gentleman from Connecticut, to be left on a Greyhound bus from Washington, D.C., and we arrived in a little town called Rock Hill, South Carolina, tried to desegregate a waiting room, a white waiting room, and we were attacked by members of the Klan. They beat us and left us lying in a pool of blood. Many years later, this member of the Klan was in his 70s, and his son was in his 40s, came to my office and said, "Mr. Lewis, I've been a member of the Klan. I'm one of the people that beat you and your seatmate. I want to apologize. Will you accept my apology?" His son started crying. He started crying. And I said, "I accept your apology." He said, "Will you forgive me?" I said, "I forgive you." The two of them hugged me. I hugged them back, and the three of us cried. That's the power of the way of peace and love. The power of the philosophy and the discipline of nonviolence. Mm-hmm. You respect the dignity and the worth of every human being.
Part of what you always want to communicate to young people is that being on the right side of history isn't always popular.
No. Mm-hmm.
And it isn't always easy. And you don't know when things are going to break your way. You don't know whether your labors will deliver.
I said to the young people, especially students, I said, when you see something that is not right, not fair, not just, you have a moral obligation to do something, to say something.
They remind me in the words of Scripture that ours is a future filled with hope. And if you share that faith with me, if you share that hope with me, I ask you tonight for your vote. If you reject the notion that this nation's promise is reserved for the few, your voice must be heard in this election. If you reject the notion that our government is forever beholden to the highest bidder, you need to stand up in this election. If you believe that new plants and factories can dot our landscape, that new energy can power our future, that new schools can provide ladders of opportunity to this nation of dreamers. If you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules, then I need you to vote this November. Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place. Yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together. We don't turn back. We leave no one behind. We pull each other up. We draw strength from our victories, and we learn from our mistakes. But we keep our eyes fixed on that distant horizon, knowing that Providence is with us and that we are surely blessed to be citizens of the greatest nation on earth. Thank you. God bless you.
And the other thing that people won't tell you is that there is plenty of money on the table in America. All you have to do is go out and get it. Money, money, money. It's obviously changing, and you can
go get
money.
You know, like I said, I had to learn how to make money from the day I started saying, look, I'm going to help my mother. I'm going to make sure I'm not a burden.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the easy part. Making money is easy. And that's a mindset. You could put up a radar and say, where's trouble, and trouble will find you. You could put up a radar and say, where's this, and it will come to you. But when you put up that radar that says, okay, how are we going to make money in an honest way, in a legal way,
mm-hmm.
you're going to figure it out, especially today with the Internet.
Yeah, but
with
300
the internet,
million to buy the Weather Channel?
300, yeah, by the way, 300 million is not a lot of money. And so I think.
Okay, what kind of billion Byron working with? Let me get 300 million. Yeah, let me get 50 then. Okay.
You know,
give me 10.
10. I listen. 300 million. You know, I wanna make sure everybody understands how much money there's out there. There is out there, and
mm-hmm.
it is there for you. That money is there for you, and you can make all that and more. That money's there, especially today. I mean, you look, in America, this is the greatest financial system out there. We have over $20 trillion in liquidity in our financial systems. That money is just swirling, looking for a place to invest and looking for a place to get a safe return. That money is available to you. That money is looking for you. And there aren't that many people who can actually invest it, protect it, return it with a return. So there's plenty of capital. There's no shortage of capital in America.
So dig in, make this work. Hey, listen, thank you very much for listening today. I just wanted to have one theme, that this is possible, that you can do it. It's hard work. It's disappointing. It's challenging. But you can make this thing happen. It's called network marketing. And so you are in the right place at the right time. And let me just close it out. And wish you a great day. And by the way, send people to, this is going to be archived, thevoiceofblackwallstreet.com. thevoiceofblackwallstreet.com. And let them listen to it. And maybe, just maybe, they will hear something that they can do and get in and make things happen. But I thank you for listening, and I wish you all a great day. This is the Public Radio Service.